This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer Davies. I'm the Assistant Dean of External Affairs at UC San Diego Extension, and I'm here today for our career talk with Christine DiDonato, who is the founder of Career Revolution, Inc., and she's here to talk to us about keeping good employees, recruiting good employees, and especially keeping those millennial employees happy. So welcome, Christine. Thanks for being here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
So let's start it off. Tell us a little bit about you and your background and what you do.
Sure. So most of my career has been in some form of a human resource role, mostly in employee and leadership development. Before I started Career Revolution just 2 years ago, I led talent development for Sony Electronics. So between financial services and gaming and tech companies, I've had a lot of internal, now external experience.
And how did that experience sort of, what brought you to form Career Revolution, Inc.?
Being in human resource roles, I was in charge of making sure we'd get great talent in the door, keep that talent happy, and make sure we held on to the best people. And I started noticing in the last 5 years of my internal career that our managers were saying, you know, we really need to get this young talent in the door. We need to be innovative. We need change to keep up with our competitors. So we did heavy recruiting efforts to get them in the door. And then I was getting managers in my office saying, I don't know who we hired, but they really don't get it. They don't understand how work works. At the same time, I was having a lot of recent college grads in my office saying, Christine, you know, you told me you wanted me here for my great ideas. You wanted my innovation. You wanted me to improve things, but no one's really listening to me. And so I'm just doing menial work that's not adding any value. So I'm going to leave the organization. So it was more than just a generational split that we'd seen in the past. It was really a workforce gap that was, I was sort of living in real time. And so I knew that there was nothing out there that I could buy or that a consultant I could work with that was really addressing it from a solution standpoint and not a stereotype solution. So I started a company, and that's what we do.
Wow. So go back to Sony. What was the disconnect? I mean, we could kind of hear the different voices of this side and this side. But what did you, I mean, when you kind of investigated, what were some of the lessons you were learning?
Yeah, that was sort of the million-dollar question. What I found, and I started doing research over 7 years, is that there truly was a generation gap from the way people were thinking about what place work has in your life. Mm-hmm. And I always tell organizations, it's not just a millennial thing. The world has really changed rapidly in the last 10 years. Technology has changed the way we work. We've gone through downsizing and reorgs. Many people have had 4 or 5 bosses over a 2-year period. And what I found is that there's actually 7 specific beliefs that the younger you are, the more more different you're thinking about things like, what does influencing look like? What does flexibility look like? What part does work play in your larger life? And so this idea of follow your passion mm-hmm. has sort of been a growing trend. The younger you are, you're taught to follow your passion. So if you get someone directly out of college, it's more likely that they believe that their job should fulfill sort of a larger need than just bringing home some money to pay the bills. And so that sort of plays into a lot of different avenues of people asking for promotion early, people asking for giant salaries with, you know, no job experience, right? We could go on. And then this gap gets created around entitlement, I think a lot of managers will call it.
And so then what do you say to the managers? Because, I mean, there is something to tap with this young energy, right? And so, you know, sure, they're coming in for the big promotion and they've been there all of 6 months.
Right.
But so how do you right-size the expectations for the young people where you're still tapping into their passion?
Sure.
And how do you make, you know, managers not want to, I don't know, beat them or
something? Right. You know, and that's it's a complex question with lots of answers. The main thing we teach managers is this concept of the new workforce IQ. Mm-hmm. And what I like to start with managers is, first, let's get all the stereotypes out, right? Because there's lots of generational stereotypes. There's every generation has a set of stereotypes. And some may be true and some maybe are just stereotypes. So we work with, how has the world changed the way all of us are working as human beings? We are all connected 24/7 with our mobile devices. If you look look, there's some studies out there around how many direct relationships does the average employee have to manage to get their job done? Well, in 1990, it was about 20 total relationships, right? Between direct reports, customers, it's upward of 60 plus now. So the reality is, no matter who we are, we're doing more with less, right? We have more change to deal with. Imagine now coming into the workforce as a fresh college graduate, and you have no job experience, but you're being asked to deal with more chaos than any other generation has had to deal with. And on top of it, your student loan debt is three times the rate of what your manager had. So just by understanding that the world has really impacted the way people change, I think managers can have a lot more empathy, and instead of maybe wanting to have a frustrated response with some of the millennial questions, they can have a little bit more of a coaching response. And then on the millennial side, we try to teach them that the way you're thinking about work is not the way work thinks about work. And so you really have to tailor your messaging to the people who sign your paychecks. And it's not so much to change your value system or be inauthentic, but the reality is, you know, millennial, if you have some career goals, you've got to navigate the waters a little bit more strategically so that you can get that promotion, right? So it's not asking for it after 6 months of good performance. It's more about getting a mentor, getting some coaching so you know sort of when and how to ask for it in order to get a better result. So we just start from the mindset piece, really.
And so do you see with millennials coming in with great ideas but not a lot of the world of work experience? That's what you were saying. So where do you see the role of both what they're doing in college and after in terms of internship and sort of understanding? Again, you don't want to like crush their dreams and say, right, hey, it's all drudgery and like filing and coffee getting and dry cleaning for your boss. But, you know, sort of how do you set those expectations where you keep the passion but, you know, let them know that it's all not fun and games because it's called work for a reason?
Yeah, that's really the challenge. And so I speak with a lot of college students that are either in grad school or that are in their junior or senior year. And I found an interesting dynamic where they're actually really scared to go into the workforce because they've heard that it can be pretty rough, right? They've seen their parents get laid off. They've seen the economic crisis. They've seen political crisis, really, especially right now. And what I'm trying to teach them is that they've got to first, you know, this concept of build a personal brand, not a new concept. But what that means to a millennial is a lot deeper in terms of taking them through a process to say, who are you really? What's most important to you? And then let us help you understand where to look for those things in the workplace. It's not obvious. You don't just walk into, you know, a workplace all those cultural elements are handed to you, but they're there. Many companies, they really are there, but the millennial needs to take a little step back and say, what does opportunity look like? It may not look like a title change in 6 months or a pay raise in 6 months, but it might be there and get them that in 12 months. You know, so it's just about looking at the world a little differently and understanding where to see opportunity where they haven't yet been taught to see opportunity. And internships, millennials are sort of characteristically have 5 internships. So they've got some experience, but I'm not sure that the company's doing a great job of helping them see how that internship experience is beyond filing and getting coffee, that they really did add something.
Well, I mean, office politics is some of the most interesting politics. Right. And you can see, you know, millennial kind of jumping in there, I've got great ideas, right, and not kind of understanding the landmines that are there. Right. When you look at it, what are some of the biggest mistakes that millennials or any new employee makes when they first get in the door before they've sort of assessed the culture that they're sort of jumping into?
Yeah, there's so many, and a lot of it really depends on the individual. Mm-hmm. But I find one of the biggest sort of observable gaps that I've seen between the manager and a young professional or new employee is this concept of I need to get my ideas in front of the people who can, you know, get them implemented. And so a political faux pas, especially with a millennial, is being new, being in a meeting where their managers brought them in, where there's exposure to higher levels, pretty exciting, and they're prepared with a list of amazing ideas, and they're offering those ideas up very enthusiastically, but it's not the right meeting or the right time, and therefore they sort of get labeled, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, that this person's sort of a pain, and they're not doing the job we paid them to do. Instead, they're wanting to work on these sexier things, but that it's really not the right time, or they're not connected to the business. Right. And so then it sort of get this reputation and no one wants to listen to you. So I say really have to sit back and know who you're presenting ideas to and make sure those ideas are aligned to where the business is headed, you know, for a strong business case.
Oh, that's interesting. And what do you see? I mean, we're talking about mistakes. What do you see organizations doing as a mistake? You know, I mean, like, not listening to those kids. I mean, you know, I mean, what are some of the mistakes that lead to turnover then?
I think the biggest one I've seen is this idea of very surface level catering to what they think a millennial is. So I call them fun committees, engagement campaigns, if you will. So they do an employee survey, an engagement survey. They get it back in almost every organization that I have spoken to, work with, talk to at all, will tell us our millennials are scoring us low in the areas of career development and being part of a larger culture. Every organization, even the best, those scores are in decline. So then the executive team says we have to do something about it. They form committees. We need a pool table in the
foosball.
Break room. We need foosball. We need food truck Fridays. And those are all awesome. I don't know anybody who wouldn't like perks at work, all generations. And then it's check mark. We appealed to millennials because they like to have fun at work. And what I found is the number one thing that millennials, that all human beings are looking for at work, is for someone or the organization to make an investment in them as a human being about their career. Because the reality is, if the organization is not doing well, they will cut jobs, right? It's no longer lifetime loyalty. So why would an employee be loyal to them because of a food truck? It's about training and development, especially for millennials, around who are they as unique snowflakes in the world, and what does their meaning, their career mean to the organization? So it's truly face-to-face coaching and development. The one thing that organizations said millennials don't want. They want everything online, they want everything mobile, and they want to have fun. Those are not true. And you will lose millennials if that's where an investment stops.
So they really need to take it off the Facebook and do it face-to-face is what you're saying.
Absolutely. When we survey millennials around why do you leave, why would you voluntarily leave when you're in good performance standing? Number one answer, my manager is not, he doesn't believe in me or doesn't have my back. My direct manager, not even the org culture. Mm-hmm. And so the managers say, I don't have time. They want so much feedback. Really, what the millennial is looking for is sit down with me face-to-face and have a conversation about my career. Different than all of the one-on-ones we have around my projects. Those still need to happen. But have a career conversation, and guess what? Most managers are really poor at having career conversations. They're just not properly trained in that.
I mean, for managers, it must be like, oh, God, I got to do this too.
Another conversation, right.
Oh, you know, can't we just, you know, I didn't have these career conversations. You know, why do I have to hold this person's hand? How do you kind of right-size the managers,
right,
you know, to do that? I mean, where's the give and take here? It's like,
yeah, I mean, what you said is those are the exact words that we hear is, I really now I have to do extra, I have to babysit is what we hear. So what I try to map out for managers is it's not about adding meetings, right? If they could eliminate all of the smaller meetings that they have because of turnover, right, which is all the time you spend on hiring a new person, all the time you spend when your HR representative is in your office saying, why do I have these complaints? Why are your engagement scores low? If you could eliminate 50% of those right there by having one good quarterly career conversation for an hour or coffee with your employee once a month, you would actually save time. Plus, you'd be a lot happier at work and you wouldn't have so many complaints around these, quote, millennial, you know, employees aren't doing what I need them to do. So it really does save them time in the long run.
So we know that turnover is never a good thing. You sort of went through it. Like, kind of walk me through the cost to the organizations. Mm-hmm. And when you look at organizations that have that kind of turnover, are there like three things that you always know is going on?
Yeah, I mean, we are finding statistically, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes. Millennials don't stay long. Well, there's actually some great data behind that, and it varies by industry. But what we're seeing in most companies is that millennial talent, we say millennials are about 32 years of age or younger. We can sort of add or subtract a year depending on who's reporting. Mm-hmm. They will leave voluntarily at 2 times the rate of more experienced employees. So in some like hospitality call center environments, that's 12 months. Larger, you know, more established companies, that's probably about 2 years. So it just depends. But they leave twice as fast, and they will leave without having another job. So it's a totally different generational dynamic because they live at home longer. Mm-hmm. Parents are supporting that. So a couple signs I will see is if an organization has trends like this, I always ask them to look at when is this happening in your company with your millennials? What is sort of the magic number? Is it 18 months? Is it 24 months? You can intervene about 6 months prior to that trend with career development training and actually get them to stay, make it through the threshold, then they stay longer. Once they get past the threshold, they will stay longer. That saves you on average between $30,000 and $50,000 per every person who voluntarily leaves.
Wow.
$30,000 to $50,000 and more if it's executive roles,
mm-hmm.
right? Another interesting dynamic is the highest group of voluntary turnover in organization is the top performing 20% of all ages. So there's this new thing coming up called mid-career crisis, which is sort of the 40-somethings, the Gen Xers saying, not only do I not want to manage millennials, but I've had four bosses in 2 years. You're asking me to manage more. You're asking me to take on more, and I'm done. And so you've got, you know, you have huge workforce gaps coming up. It's mm-hmm. really scary, actually.
Wow. So as a Gen Xer, I get it. You know, it's like you're like, you've been through the ringer and you're exhausted. And then you're supposed to babysit these cute little earnest kids that have great ideas, but it kind of is annoying.
Yes.
So what do you tell when we talk about those gaps, what are those gaps coming up and what does that do to the workforce?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people around this sort of the generational hype, and there's been probably a good 10 years of seminars and workshops mm-hmm. on managing four generations of the workplace. It was about, you know, baby boomers and millennials aren't getting along. And I don't think that's the case at all because boomers, many of their children are the millennials. Mm-hmm. So it's really – that's not the case. It's really the Gen Xers that are having the challenge. And what I'm finding is if you just look at a chart of how many people are in the workforce in these generations, it's quite scary. It's really stifling. It's saying that as the boomers retire, and we know that 63% of our most senior leadership group is retiring in the next 5 years. So they're we're a big generation. Gen Xers, by default, are going to be, if they're not already, in very senior leadership roles. So they'll be running the show. And that leaves an enormous gap with middle management. And the only people there to fill these middle management roles, Gen X, are your millennials, or the group that you are saying you don't have time to coach. You didn't have anyone doing it for you, right? We raised ourselves. We valued. I am a Gen X as well. There's a lot of value around independence and freedom, the grunge movement. And here you have millennials asking for and valuing time and feedback. There's a really big mindset gap between Gen X and millennials. But the reality is they are going to be the employees that will make or break your career as a leader. You need to foster their talent. You need to engage them. And so I really tell Gen Xers to say your success depends on their success. You can be successful, but without them behind you, it's not going to be a fun road. And we know Gen X, you know, likes to take on challenge, but that whether you start a company or whether you're managing in an established company or you're working for a startup, that is the reality of your success. It's a skill that has to be learned. There's really no way around it.
It's so fascinating because it is being the difference between Gen Xers and millennials could not be more stark in some ways.
It's wide in some areas, definitely.
And so, I mean, how do you see the workforce, the workplace changing? I mean, it does seem like it's defined by almost the bottom up with millennials. I mean, do the Gen Xers get to put any stamp of themselves on the workplace, or do we really see that the millennials kind of bring in this, you know, career development, this talking, this engagement, this meaning?
Yeah. You know, I always look at success of any organization is the customer experience. What are you doing? At the end of the day, it's about the consumer. So then you have to say, who are you selling to? And in most organizations, when I used to work in the electronics industry, we found that if our next generation of consumer were millennials. So you have to look at who you're selling to as a good business strategy, and then your workforce needs to mirror who you're selling to. And so if you're selling to millennials, who, by the way, have some of the biggest buying power in the market and growing globally, then you want to reflect what that consumer has, which means your employees have some insight. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do want to say about Gen Xers, or the forgotten generation, Gen X has been really led the way for entrepreneurship, for breaking the mold, for innovation. And millennials love that. That's what the two generations have in common. And so if millennials can sort of align on that value that, wow, we both want to do things differently. We don't want to do things the way the rules were built. Gen Xers broke a lot of rules in the workplace. Therefore, they don't like like the rules. Mm-hmm. But millennials are with you on that. So if you can align on how can we do it differently, simply, more efficiently, I think those two generations actually can do quite a bit of good if they can have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's where the breakdown happens.
And so when you talk about breaking the rules, with career development, it seems like you would want a certain level of rules or, you know, specificity. And so how do you have that conversation with these managers saying, you're going to have to implement, you know, these reviews and that kind
of. Right. You know, as a Gen Xer myself and someone who's managed human resource management and performance management, you know, Gen Xers can really help out by saying, what have we been doing and how can we do it differently? We still need process, but the career ladder is out the window in most companies. And Gen Xers liked breaking it. So I think if they just put a little bit of parameters around that, you know, it can go a long way. It's just about the conversation, not the policy, the conversation.
And there, we've had a conversation. This has been great. I really appreciate it. Gets some great insights, I think, both into, like, the workplace, the home life. it's been amazing, and we really appreciate it. Well, thank you so much, Christine DiDonato of Career Revolution, Inc., which is an innovator in the space of employee and leadership development.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.